This episode is brought to you in full by Heartlift International, a 501(c) dedicated to making home and family the safest, most secure place to be. To make a tax-deductible donation and help this podcast stay ad-free and reach the ends of the earth, just go to JanelleRiordan.com/HeartliftInternational and learn how you can become actively involved as a Circle of Trust member. I thank you in advance. What does it mean to matter? Imagine for a moment that you are in a world in which you pass by others unnoticed. You cannot capture anyone's attention and are ignored by all around you. No one takes an interest in your activities, shares your joys, or comforts you in your sorrows. People in a quandary do not seek advice or emotional support from you, nor does anyone care about your opinions. In short, you are virtually invisible. You make a difference in no one's life. You feel alone in the company of your family, in your workplace, and in your community. Now, shrug off this dreadful image. Return to your world and recognize with great relief that you are indeed connected to people in a meaningful way. Others are usually aware of your presence and notice when you come or go. They recognize you in social gatherings. Your successes are a source of pride to many of them. They are willing to listen to your problems. They may even feel close enough to you to criticize you for your own good. You recall that others have turned to you when they were in need and trusted you with things that are important to them. You do make a difference in the world around you. Put succinctly, you matter. Hello and welcome to today's Heartlift with Janelle. I am Janelle, your host for today's conversation. It's just me today because we are moving in Passion Week, Holy Week, as we call it on the Christian calendar. As you know, I'm a woman of faith and I follow the ways and teachings of Jesus. And it's going to be Wednesday when you hear this, and that is typically called Holy Wednesday of our Holy Week, Passion Week, or as I've learned recently, Spy Wednesday. That's S-P-Y. Yeah. Because this was the day during this week of Jesus's movement towards the cross and the crucifixion that Judas made arrangements to betray Jesus. Some churches offer a tenebrae service, which if you've never been to one, I highly encourage it. Tenebrae comes from the Latin meaning shadows or darkness. So you can imagine the tone of a tenebrae service is going to be filled with sorrow, desolation. At certain points of a tenebrae service, candles may be extinguished. And there may also be a cacophony of noise just to evoke feelings of abandonment, pain, or even sadness. So it is a time of our journey towards understanding the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus and why God his Father would put him through that, where there's more a somber tone. We enter tomorrow. Thursday will be Maundy Thursday, which many churches celebrate Maundy Thursday by a foot washing or a Passover meal, just a time of quiet community, of communal gathering. And then we have Good Friday, where as we would celebrate at our church, it was one of the most profound services of the year for me personally, because it was done primarily in the dark. And at the end of the service, it was almost completely dark, light enough for everyone to make their way out, but the church bells would ring and then there would just be complete and total silence. So it really left a sense of contemplation, of introspection, of taking the time, the necessary time, which is what Holy Week really is for. It's a time on our Christian calendar. Lent has preceded it. Lent is a time of prayer and fasting, a time of giving up things, a time of letting go of things. And so during the Holy Week movement, we want to take account again of perhaps what Lent has shown us this 40-day period. And for me, it has been quite a period of introspection, if I'm honest. I can't fully disclose everything going on in my heart and mind and soul and body because I'm still figuring it out. But I know that I have been journaling with a renewed passion. I have not journaled in months and months. And that being due to just a state of complete bodily and mental exhaustion, just due to the work that I do. And it has just caught up with me. So during this season of introspection for me, I have been awakened several times in the middle of the night with some whispers. As you know, I like to call God talking to me his whispers. And one of them was the beginning of a meditative exercise, much like Genesis 2:7, the waiting room, grounding in grace, other ones that I have available for you over on Spotify or on the podcast. And this one is called A Tap on the Shoulder. When I receive these downloads, I like to call them, I can never expect when, where, or how they're going to come, but it's usually when I am in a time of deep thinking, a time of introspection, like I said, just a time of looking at my heart, trying to listen to what it's saying to me, listening to my body, which is what I've been doing. And it just came to me in the middle of the night, and I woke up with this one sentence, a tap on the shoulder. And so I just want to offer it to you today in its infancy. So no editing, no critiquing, please. It is just in its infancy, and I invite your input and even your thoughts, and maybe compile it into our communal meditation. So maybe find a quiet spot. Take a few moments to take a deep breath. Just put your hand over your heart and inhale. And exhale. Do that 3 or 4 times if you'd like. Maybe pause and do that. A tap on the shoulder. I felt a tap on my shoulder. I looked around. I didn't see anyone. What was that? I thought. It felt as real as could be. The pressure of a fingertip lightly on my shoulder. Well, I kept doing what I was doing, and then I felt it again. What is this? A slight tap on my shoulder, so this time I stopped what I was doing. I heard a whisper as well. Immediately, I felt chills run from the top of my head to the soles of my bare feet. I paused. I looked around. I still didn't see anybody. Well, this is something new, I thought. I leaned in. I tilted my head as if to listen closely. And I heard it. Those still small whispers. Come here, child. Come sit with me. We've been here before, haven't we? We've been in this space. It's familiar. It's very familiar. You know, exhausted, weary, oh, so weary. Weary and well-doing, yes, I know, but weary nonetheless. You know all the words. You know those familiar passages. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not lose heart. You know this in your head, but your heart, wow, that is a million miles away from your heart. You see, you've lived in this house of weary most of your life. Well, at least for as long as you can remember. The hallways in this house leading you to walk into rooms that you are really familiar with. Ambition. Striving. Perfectionism. The moment you place your hand on one of those doorknobs, your heart starts to race. Adrenaline runs through your veins. The addiction to the attention and the applause and the approval that those rooms bring to you, well, that creates a false fire within your heart. And that, my daughter, is what brings the weariness. That race, that false fire that you feel, but you can't stop, can you? You don't know how. No matter how hard you try, you find yourself unable to leave those rooms. Those rooms where you seem to matter a whole lot. But now, I see you. Yeah, I do. I see you alone and sad in those rooms because you've lost heart. You know that you won't lose heart part of that familiar passage that you know so well? Well, you have lost heart. I see your frustration. I hear your cries. I hear your cries. In fact, I heard your cry just a few days ago in that bathroom outside of your doctor's office. Yeah, I heard you and I saw you. You remember saying to me, I can't stop. I don't know how to not be this person that I am. I don't know how to stop spinning in this wild state of being. The deepest struggle, though, that I'm hearing is that you didn't even ask to be in those rooms. Because, yeah, other people took you into those rooms and they became so familiar you just stayed there. This is what matters most about your journey right now. This is where I want to invite you into a new house. This is why I have tapped you on the shoulder and I have whispered in your ear. Now, right now is the time. There's another way. I see that you're ready. I see that. I see how much work you've done on yourself, all the hours, all the journaling, all the therapy. I've seen it all, and it's helped. It has. But this change, this journey out of the house of weary, well, this is a journey you can't do on your own. You can't fix it. You can't study your way out of it. You can't research your way through it. You can't journal and journal and find your way. I have to do it with you. We have to do this together. And this time, this movement, this journey is a forever journey. Every room you've been in thus far has brought you to this place. But now it's time to move out of the house of weary. Oh, and move into, are you ready? Today's the day I'm welcoming you into the house of wholeness. I've been preparing this house and building this house for you for a very long time. And it's just now ready because you, my sweet daughter, are now ready. Inside of this house of wholeness, there are many rooms. There's a room of wellness, a room of joy, a room of peace, a room of contentment, a room of freedom, and the very best part of this beautiful house of wellness is what you've been dreaming of for so long. Mm-hmm. You guessed it. It's on a river, a beautiful, beautiful river. So you can walk out back and you can go sit on the dock and breathe. Welcome home. I know the journey's been a long one, but today is a new day. Welcome. Heartlifter, that's all I have right now. It's taken hours to get that much, but I hope my offering to you this Spy Wednesday of Passion Week just gives you, I don't know, a little something to think about. Because that's what today's Heartlift really is all about. Yes, we're here to learn and to grow and to understand our sense of self, behavior patterns, communication skills. But at the core of why I do what I do and why you are here, it's to understand that we really do have value, worth, and dignity, and that we matter. And most importantly, we matter to ourselves. That's the most important part. In What It Means to Matter on psychologytoday.com, Akua Hagen writes, "Mattering consists of feeling valued and adding value to ourselves and others. By feeling valued, we mean being appreciated, respected, and recognized. By adding value, we mean making a contribution and making a difference in the world. The mattering effect refers to the positive or negative consequences of feeling like we matter or not. Feeling valued is a precondition for personal health and well-being, and I will add wholeness. Adding value or making a contribution is a prerequisite for a meaningful life. The negative effects of not mattering, however, can be devastating. Feeling like we matter is one of the most defining features of humanity. When that feeling is present, we thrive. When it is absent, we feel ignored and helpless. Threats to mattering diminish our dignity." So I feel on my own journey that I am now ready because of the heart work that I have done. And remember, we know heart work is the hardest work we can do. The scripture calls it sanctification. That's what it is, to become more and more like Jesus every day of our lives. And so I felt like that tap on the shoulder came at the point on my pilgrim journey, on my journey towards becoming more and more like the Christ that I know and love. It's time that I move out of this house of weary, this house of weariness, where I just continually live in these rooms of comparison and jealousy and envy and striving and ambition. I'm done. I've outgrown that house. And I've outgrown it because, Heartlifter, just like you, I now know deep in my bones that I have value, worth, and dignity. And I can add value out of that deep source in my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. And I believe you're there too, because we've been taking this journey together. So let's move out of the house of weary, where we're just trying to make a name for ourselves, or you add in why you're weary. And let's prepare for a move into the house of wholeness, where we can now live in these rooms of peace and clarity and joy and freedom and, oh my goodness, so many rooms. This house is so big. And we're going to continue moving together. So may this Holy Week, may this work in progress, this meditation, a tap on my shoulder, speak to your heart. If God were to show up today and tap you on the shoulder and whisper in your ear, what would he say? What would his invitation hold for you?